pressure is mounting for countries to boycott the 2022 Winter Olympic Games in Beijing. The outcry is tied to China's alleged human rights abuses against Uyghur Muslims in the Xinjiang province. The Chinese government is accused of committing genocide, and Amnesty International estimates that thousands of Uyghur children have been separated from their parents. CNN's David Culver recently traveled to Xinjiang, where he found two children separated from their parents, and he joins us now via Skype. Welcome to Here and Now.
Thanks, Tanya. Good to be with you.
Yes, great to have you. So the first child you were able to track down was a 10-year-old daughter of a man who hasn't seen his wife or children since 2015. His wife and children were supposed to be on a routine trip but never returned. How did you find this daughter?
When we got there, we spent the first 24 hours and 20,000 steps on the ground going through these back streets of this little town, not finding anything. And it wasn't until the next day did we stumble in and realize that his daughter, who we matched through the only videos he had of her from a few years before, was standing right in front of us.
Wow. So you found this daughter, Mulisa is her name, living with Mahmoud John's parents in southern Xinjiang. And she told you that she missed her father. And you actually was able to record this and you showed it to her father, Mahmoud John. Here he is reacting to that encounter. Let's listen.
Poor thing. What kind of country does this to people, to the innocent people?
That's heartbreaking. It's very hard to listen to. What did you discover about the past 5 years of Mulisa's life? Did you find out what happened to her mother and brother?
She says that she misses her mom and dad. I mean, she's an 11-year-old girl. She is clearly very intelligent, but she had a broken heart. And she said on occasion, she talked to her mom, but she didn't give much detail. When we asked, is your mom in a detention camp? She told us she couldn't talk about camps. That was a subject we couldn't go into. And each time she was trying to go to her grandparents to vet whether or not she could answer certain things. So she was very careful. And then at one point we realized our conversation had come to an end because authorities had notified the family that they were to stop talking to us.
I'm just curious how long you were there before authorities were called in.
We were there roughly about 10 minutes, enough to kick off our shoes and to almost join them for a meal. They were preparing for a feast, and they wanted us to stay, interestingly enough.
I want to step back a little bit, because when you talk about what happened at Mulisa's house with authorities, when you were flying into Xinjiang, you said that the cabin crew made everyone close their window shades on the plane's descent, presumably so you wouldn't see the labor camps from the sky. You also described being followed by who you suspect were Chinese security forces by car and on foot. Can you tell us more about that?
I can't say for certain why they wanted us to close the window shades, but it was peculiar because usually they're saying open them for takeoff and landing. When we were on the ground and being followed, we knew early on that there were people trailing us. At one moment, we tried to go through a toll where police stopped us, and they went from our car, knowing that we were journalists after checking our passports, to the car behind us, and then allowed us to continue going. But then as they realized who we were trying to connect with, they then started to follow us in droves. But that was the reality, is they wanted to make sure that their presence was known and that anyone we were going to speak with, they too would be tracking.
Amnesty International says the Chinese government is intentionally separating these families in retaliation for parents leaving Xinjiang during the early days of the crackdown. I mean, this is a charge that the Chinese government denies. Here's Chinese ambassador to the U.S., Suyi Tiankai, responding to your report with an interview with CNN's Christiane Amanpour.
Frankly, there has been so much fabrication so far, so I cannot.
But you know that that's not fabricated, Ambassador, right?
It's very unfortunate.
You know that that's not fabricated.
It's very unfortunate. I think it's very unfortunate. It's immoral to take advantage of any particular family situation and manipulate. This is not true journalism. It's very unfortunate for CNN.
David, has the Chinese government changed its tone at all now that more countries are speaking out against these alleged human rights abuses?
Tanya, they've gone the opposite direction. They have doubled down on this, and they maintain that this is a false narrative, that these are lies that are being put out with regards to what's happening in Xinjiang. I think that's what makes this story stand on its own is that we are simply putting forward what parents who are outside of the country are venting to us and pleading really in a desperate situation with us to connect with their children. And we are attempting to find the children and hear their side of it.
David, thank you so much for talking with us, and thank you for your reporting.
Tanya, thanks for giving us some time.
That's CNN's David Culver on his recent reporting from China's Xinjiang province.